Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. At the conclusion of last Perek, we saw Shmuel's deep distress at the finality of the decree that Shaul's kingship was doomed. And Shaul and Shmuel had parted ways, each to his own home, their partnership having drawn to a close. Shmuel was devastated by the failure of his protege, to the point that our perek today opens with Hashem remonstrating with Shmuel. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, Ad matay ata mitabel el Shaul, ve'ani ma'astiv mimloch al Yisrael, malei karnecha shemen, ve'lech eshlachacha el Yishai beit halachmi, ki ra'iti bevanav li melech. For how long will you mourn over Shaul, when I have rejected him from the kingship of Israel? Fill your horn with oil, for I am sending you to Yishai of Beit Lechem, for I have designated a king for me among his sons. Note the instruction this time to take a keren, a horn of oil, indicating that this malchut, this kingdom, will be a lasting one. Vayomer Shmuel, Eichelech, v'shama Shaul v'haragani. Shmuel protested, saying, how can I go? If Shaul hears of it, he will kill me. This seems like a rather extreme objection. Abarbanel argues that Shmuel's fear was insincere, reflecting his own hesitation to undo his handiwork. Malbim, on the other hand, views Shmuel's concern as legitimate. He explains that Shmuel's question was a practical one, not how can I go, but how should I go? How am I to carry out this mission while Shaul is still serving as king? Shmuel wants to know whether this mission is to be carried out publicly or secretly. If it's a public mission, then Shmuel would feel secure, because if a miracle were required to save him from Shaul, it would be in the merit of the entire nation. But if it is to be carried out secretly and Shaul hears of it, it would require a personal miracle to save Shmuel, one that might come at the cost of his own merits. Hashem instructed Shmuel to take a heifer and say that he has come to offer a sacrifice to Hashem. Then he should invite Yishai to partake of the feast, and Hashem would then tell him how to proceed and anoint the one whom Hashem would indicate. This is, in fact, a secret mission. Shmuel did as Hashem instructed him, and he came to Beit Lechem. The elders of the town hurried anxiously out to greet him and said, have you come in peace? Radak explains that they were concerned lest there had been some great sin in the city that demanded a visit from Shmuel, but he reassured them that yes, he had come in peace for a holy purpose, to sacrifice to Hashem. He specified that Yishai and his sons should be invited to partake of the sacrifice. Vayhi bivoam, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayhi bivoam, vayaret Eliav, Vayomer, ach, neged Hashem mishicho. Upon their arrival, Shmuel saw Eliav, the oldest son of Yishai, and exclaimed, surely Hashem's anointed one is before him. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, al tabet el marehu, ve'el gvoa komato, ki me'astihu, ki lo asher yireha adam, ki ha'adam yireh la'inayim, v'Hashem yireh la'livav. But Hashem responded with words of rebuke. Don't look at his appearance or his tall stature, for I have rejected him. For it is not how man sees. Man sees only what his eyes behold, but Hashem sees into the heart. According to Rashi, Shmuel spoke only to himself, but Radak entertains the possibility that he spoke aloud, reflecting his certainty that given Eliab's impressive appearance, he must be the designated king, just as Shaul was physically imposing, so as to command the respect of the people. The fact that Hashem says of Eliab, I rejected him, implies that he was considered for the kingship, but fell short. And again, Rashi cites the Midrash, which teaches that Eliab was quick to anger, which precluded his becoming king. Hashem's rebuke to Shmuel regarding the short-sightedness of man is understood by Chazal as a punishment, measure for measure, for Shmuel's having identified himself to Shaul by saying, Anochi haro'eh, I am the seer, when Shaul and his attendant were seeking his guidance in the matter of the lost donkeys, which we explained might have been interpreted as a trace of arrogance. Hashem now demonstrates to him that even a seer who does see beyond the surface of things can only see as far as Hashem reveals to him. Musar HaNavim adds to this that the reason Hashem did not reveal his plan fully to Shmuel was because Shmuel was still in distress over Shaul, and the divine presence only rests upon someone who's in a positive frame of mind. Thus, Shmuel's prophecy in this case was staggered, coming to him piecemeal as necessitated by the turn of events. Yishai then brings forward each of his sons in turn, Avinadav and Shammah, and the remainder of his seven sons, each paraded before Shmuel, and Shmuel rejecting each one, saying, "Nope, he is not the one chosen by Hashem." Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, Hatamu Hanyarim? Vayomer Od Sha'ar Hakaton Vihine Ro'e Batzon. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, Shilcha V'kachenu, Ki Lo Nasov Ad Bo'o Po. Is that all the boys? Asked Shmuel. And Yishai responded, "There's one left, the youngest. He's out shepherding the sheep." And Shmuel said to Yishai, "Send for him and have him brought here, for we will not move on until he arrives here." Vayishlach vayivi'ehu, v'hu admoni im yifei enayim, v'tov ro'i, vayomer Hashem, kum mishachehu, ki zehu. Yishai sent for him, and he was brought, and the youth was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and good-looking. And Hashem said, "Rise and anoint him, for he is the one." Malbim notes here that David, at first glance, presented a conflicting set of features. Only two people in Tanakh are described as admoni, ruddy, a reddish complexion, Esav and David. When Esav was born, he was described as admoni, which is understood as having a certain affinity for shvichut damim, for spilling blood. And this violent nature was foretold by that ruddy appearance. In David, this nature, which might be interpreted as violent, was paired with yifei enayim v'tov ro'i, beautiful eyes and pleasing appearance, which Malbim explains as intellectual acuity and good humor. Had the judgment been left to Shmuel, he would have rejected David on the grounds of his ruddy complexion. But Hashem, who sees the internal workings of one's character, told Shmuel that David would master his evil inclination and use his innate tendencies to defeat the enemies of Israel. According to the Midrash, David's innate tendency to violence is tempered by his yifei enayim, by the authority of the Sanhedrin, who are called the eyes of Israel. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Vayikach Shmuel et Keren Hashemen, Vayimshach oto bekerev echav, Vatitzlach ruach Hashem el David mehayom hahu v'mala, Vayakam Shmuel vayelech haramata. And Shmuel took the horn of oil and anointed David among his brothers, and the spirit of Hashem rested upon David from that day forward. And Shmuel went back to Ramah. Da'at Sofrim notes several differences between Shaul's and David's anointments. David was anointed with a keren rather than a pach, as we mentioned, a horn rather than a flask, with the shemen hamishcha, the consecrated oil of the mikdash. David does not need signs, as Shaul did, to facilitate the transition from his private to public life to a higher spiritual plane. Shmuel does not linger with David as he did with Shaul, teaching and mentoring him as he eases into his new role. The reason he gives for this is to suggest that Shmuel didn't want to enter into the dispute that would inevitably arise between Shaul and David. Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14, V'ruach Hashem sara me'im Shaul, uviatatu ruach ra'ah me'et Hashem. And the spirit of Hashem departed from Shaul, and he was tormented by an evil spirit from Hashem. We may remember that when Shaul was anointed, the same phrase, Vatitzlach alav ruach Hashem, was used to describe the change that overtook him. This same Ruach Hashem, that was a positive Ruach Hashem, the spirit of Hashem. This same Ruach Hashem was now transferred from him to David. And this Ruach was the source of divine inspiration that endowed the recipient with great strength, confidence, and wisdom to rule. Thus, while Shaul is still capable of functioning normally, his confidence in his leadership is shattered, and he's not able to take decisive action. At the same time, when the Ruach Ra'ah prevailed over him, he was not even able to function normally. He became so thoroughly frightened that he's not held accountable for his emotional outbursts. And this, says Mishpitzot Zahav, is why when Chazal lists Shaul's failings, they do not mention his irrational attacks against David, which were prompted by the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit that overtook him at those times. Shaul's servants noticed the change in him. They say to him, Vayomru avdei Shaul elav, Hineina Ruach Elokim Ra'ah miva'atecha. Behold, an evil spirit from Hashem is tormenting you. Da'at Sofrim points out that the servants use the name Elokim, reflecting the divine quality of justice in connection with the Ruach Ra'ah, rather than Hashem, reflecting the divine quality of mercy, which had been used in the previous Pasuk. He explains that since the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit, began plaguing Shaul, Shaul had begun interacting with the people around him, b'midat hadin, with excessive strictness, such that it was clear that he was acting on groundless suspicions and must be prompted by some force exerting power over him, rather than according to his own nature. The servant suggested that someone be found who was skilled at playing the harp, so that when the evil spirit takes hold of him, he might be soothed by the music. And Shaul agreed to their suggestion. Music has the power to lift the spirit, as Shaul had experienced firsthand when he was anointed, and he encountered the band of young prophets who were accompanied by musicians, and Shaul began to prophesy among them. Shaul's servants had suggested merely that someone who knew how to play, Yodeya Minagein Bakinor, be found. But Shaul specified further, Meitiv Linagein, someone who plays well, which according to Malbim reflects a higher standard, someone who possesses wisdom and good judgment in his craft and will be able to select the right music and the right words for the moment, as befitting one who serves the king. In response, one of the attendants spoke up and described David, the son of Yishai, in profusely laudatory language, adding to the very little we know about David so far. Pasuk Yulchet, verse 18, Vaya'an echad mihanearim vayomer, Hine ra'iti ben li Yishai beit halachmi, Yodea nagen, v'gibor chayil, v'ish milchama, unvon davar, v'ish toar, v'ashem imo. He knows how to play music. He's a mighty man of valor, a man of war, of deep understanding, and handsome, and Hashem is with him. Abarbanel notes that this is a very unusual combination of qualities. While it's not so surprising that a shepherd might be a skilled poet and musician, it's unusual for this poet-shepherd to also be a valiant warrior. Some explain that David was unusually strong, particularly after he was endowed with this Ruach Hashem that had departed from Shaul, which empowered him to be able to kill a lion and a bear that had threatened his flock of sheep, as we'll hear further in the next parak. This episode must have become the subject of talk, and it was assumed that he was a great warrior if he had the ability to kill a lion and a bear with his bare hands. The Gemara interprets these qualities allegorically, alluding to David's knowledge and skill in Torah learning rather than actual military skill. Shaul then sent messengers to Yishai requesting that he send David, his son who is with the sheep, to him. Yishai loaded a donkey with gifts of bread, wine, and a goat, and sent it with David to Shaul. David came before Shaul and served him. Vayavo David el Shaul, Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21. Vayavo David el Shaul, vayamod lefanav, vayehavehu meod, vayhilo nosei kelim. Shaul became very fond of David, and David became his arms bearer. Shaul sent word to Yishai, saying, Let David remain before me, for he has found favor in my eyes. And whenever the Ruach Elokim, the Pasuk now adopts the language which was coined by the servants, would overcome him, David would play his harp, and the evil spirit would depart from Shaul. Mishpitzot Zahav suggests that the ambiguity of pronouns in this verse teaches us that their relationship was reciprocal. V'haya b'hiyot Ruach Elokim el Shaul, when the Ruach Elokim came upon Shaul, this bad spirit of Hashem came to Shaul, v'lakach David et hakinor, David would take up his harp, v'nigen biyado, and he would play, v'ravach l'Shaul, and Shaul would be relieved, v'tov lo, and it was good for him. For whom? For David, who had become attached to Shaul, just as Shaul had become fond of him, and it pained him to see Shaul troubled, so that it was satisfying to both of them when the Ruach Ra'ah was lifted. Thank you for learning together Le'ilui Nishmot Imhotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.